Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From Montana to Mahomes, his call has been synonymous with Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
He's the voice of the Chiefs kingdom, and he joins The Drive every Monday at 4.
You can't doubt the Chiefs! You can dislike the Chiefs! You can disrespect the Chiefs! You're going to have to deal with the Chiefs!
Here's Mitch Holthus.
We're going to head to the phone lines here momentarily to be joined by Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let me tell you that Mitch Holthus is brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association, Incorporated, and also Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Mitch Holthus. Mitch, when did you guys get back yesterday?
When did we land? 3:30. We got back at the facility at 4, and then head on a pillow at 4:30-ish, but then up after a couple hours and you roll. This is Monday and Tuesday all on the same day. So I was telling Rob, it started out as a Monday, then it went to Tuesday. Now I'm back with you on a Monday. It's going to be Tuesday here as soon as I'm done with you, and then I go back to a Monday for the Kingdom Show. That's just the way it happens. Once you walk off that plane after Monday Night Football on the road, it's Tuesday immediately when you put your foot on the ground. That's the way it works. And then you got the Lions coming in. So no chance to snivel or whine.
Let's start with this, Mitch. And I understand that this is not how games work and these plays happen and you can't go and take them back. I feel like if you change the result of just one of these two plays, we are having a different conversation. Either Nick Bolton gets the interception, Drew Tranquil, either one of them. If the Chiefs can't convert, which was a gift from the football gods, one of them catch the ball, or Mahomes doesn't have the pick six. I feel like for as close as this game was, I feel like it really comes down to both of those plays went Jacksonville's way and didn't go Kansas City's way, and in a game with so close margin of error, that ended up being the difference.
I'm going to give you another one that people have forgotten about. You want it?
Of course.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
14-0 lead, 3rd and 15. The Jags are backed up in their own territory and defensive pass interference on Watson, automatic first down. And that sets up a drive for them to get to 14-7 that sets up the sequence that you're talking about, really the remainder of the game. If the Chiefs get a stop, the Jags have to punt from deep in their own territory. At the least, you're going to get a field goal and go up 17-0. The others would be, then on the offensive side at possession 4, you got a chance to score back-to-back at 14-7. Even if you get field goal wrapped around the half, you're up 20-7. and that's pretty much game over. Three and out, possession four, three and out, possession five. That led to the pick six, almost the interception. So you catch my drift. That third and 15 was rough because the Chiefs are moving it, man. They might go down and get up to 21 to nothing, and it would be really hard for the Jags to get back in the game at that point.
I feel like in this game, and I think what is so frustrating about this, and I'm not trying to take away anything from Jacksonville. Jacksonville made plays. That might end up being one of the surprise teams in the AFC this year. I just felt like Kansas City made so many mistakes in this game. They had 14 penalties. They had a pass interference on the one-yard line. They put the ball on the one-yard line. Trevor Lawrence fell. They didn't convert on that play. They threw the pick six in this one. I just the special teams gaffe to put the ball at the 40-yard line. I just feel like so many of those mistakes just started to add up and add up. And I don't care how good you are. When you go on the road and you play a good team and the crowd is into it and you got a hungry team like Jacksonville, you just can't make that many mistakes and also expect to leave with the win.
Especially in the 2025 version of the NFL. There's so many crazy, razor-thin margin games that even the plays that we discussed prior to that inference or question or statement by you was any one of those could tip the scale here. We saw it in the Eagles game. We've seen it in several games this year throughout the NFL. All right, now, every phase had good things in that game. I mean, you're talking the offense had 476 yards of offense. They averaged 8 yards a player almost. That's the best in 2 years. Kareem Hunt gets a 33-yard run. Isaiah Pacheco gets a 17-yard run. Mahomes throws for 318 and runs for 60. And then they didn't get the drive done, the possession four, possession five, possession six, where the game flipped. Defensively, Bolton was all over the place. 12 tackles, the play at the goal line, slapping a ball out from Lawrence trying to get it over the goal line. You get three sacks against the team that only had three sacks allowed in four games. And yet, you can't stop them. 60 yards to go, and you can't stop them. And for a variety of reasons. Special teams. Four penalties in the second half on special teams. And you talk about the kick going out of bounds at the 40. You didn't mention the kick return, the possession before that got to the 41, which led to a field goal and a 24-21 Jags lead. So, and then there was good things in the special teams. Matt Araiza probably had his best game as a Chief. Four punts inside the 20. He flips the field twice, or it could have been a problem. I mean, there's 20 plays in that game in three phases that there's plus minus, but there were just too many minuses that leads to a 3-point loss.
Mitch, can you take us through the Patrick Mahomes pick six, kind of how you see it? It looked like he just got baited. It looks like the defensive player kind of hit his hand, so to speak, pops up, makes the big play, and takes it to the house. You have a perfect bird's eye view of the play. What did you see?
Yeah, Devin Lloyd now, he's a beast right now. The fact that he's got the most takeaways in the league, he's a good tackler, good linebacker, but he's such an athlete and, you know, ball hawk. But that was Coach Reed will say, you know, sometimes you get them and sometimes they get you. I think Pat even mentioned that he had not seen that coverage. So Jacksonville, you know, we think about offenses like putting plays in their pocket or pulling them out at the right time or saving the Joker or the Ace of Hearts and putting it in your coat pocket. Defenses do that too. Defenses will save little tricky, like we're going to try to trick him right here in the red zone. Now, the Jags went in five in the league. In red zone defense. And that's why the Chiefs cashing it in on the other ones, I'm thinking, okay, this is impressive to be red zone efficient again for a second straight week. But then the Jags pull out the card. They waited for that call, hadn't used it all year, and so give them credit. Yes, they baited the Chiefs into an interception. It rarely happens to Mahomes, but they did it. And that's one where you got to give the Jags, you tip the hat to them, even though that one was painful. The longest return by a linebacker since James Harrison's against the Cardinals in Super Bowl 43, by the way.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. His appearances are brought to you by GEHA and also Silverstein Eye Center. I know the Chiefs had that big penalty, or the big turnover, excuse me, and that ended up being a pivotal switch in the game. I thought this was another very, very good offensive performance for the Chiefs. You can see this offense coming together a little bit. Their running back room looked about as well as it's looked so far this season. They really got a bunch of different options at wide receiver, and now we're just 1 week away from them getting back their best skill position player. There's a lot of good right now to talk about when it comes to the offense.
And that might have been the offensive line collectively, their best game. Maybe since the Super Bowl 57 zero sack game against the Eagles. Now, I know what three of those five guys weren't there then, but the point is that offensive line of the Chiefs really had a good game last night. And to get a 33-yard run from Kareem Hunt, to get a 17-yard run from Pacheco, to get Tyquan Thornton, we're going to feature that tonight on the Chiefs Kingdom show, for him to do it every week. It's not like he's flashing and then you don't see him again for a month. And he did it three different ways last night. And I'll break that down during our Coach Reed segment tonight. We'll hear from Coach as well. But you're right. The offense is getting it going. And it's Rashard Smith adding in his talents. But with the line playing that well, Mahomes had clean pockets for a lot of the night. And for this offense to be efficient and explosive and get into the red zone and get touchdowns, is something that bodes well for the future. And you're going to need all of that this week against the NFL's best team right now.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I got to talk to you about the final defensive play of the game for Kansas City. A lot of people, myself included, very frustrated with the effort from Chris Jones. It's just not a good look when you look at the film. I'm sure by now you've seen the play. What do you see from him? What do you see from that defensive line on Trevor Lawrence's rushing touchdown?
You know, many times, and I'm not trying to minimize it, but many times have you seen where a guy fumbles a punt and then everybody kind of, the punt coverage unit kind of relaxes thinking, oh, well, this is going to be something bad for them. And then they pick the ball up and go, and it becomes a touchdown or a long punt return. Sometimes it happens where it's human nature to like, oh, this is a good play. We got this. And then all of a sudden, he ad libs, Lawrence does, and does an awesome job with it. And so, you know, I'm going to give, I guess, the defense a little bit of thinking, oh, well, he fumbled the snap. This is going to be good. And then Lawrence recovered, and the defense didn't rebound in a split second enough. Now, just hear me out on that, because that, I think that's a very real thing. Is that all of it? Probably not. But that's some of it, because even when I was calling the play-by-play, you'll hear me say, you know, drop snap and Lawrence. And so there's this feeling of like, oh, this is awesome. This is going to be something good. And human nature is you kind of let your guard down for a second. And then all of a sudden he's up and running and you're thinking, oh, no, this is an issue. So a little bit of human nature there, I think, and just something that happens in football.
Yeah, it's just one of those plays, at least when you kind of look at the flow of the game. Obviously, it's a big play. They score a touchdown on the play. I mean, Jacksonville doesn't have a timeout left. They had called their timeout a couple plays earlier. They ran a screen play on second down the middle of the field. Just didn't really make a lot of sense to me why you would call that play. I mean, if anybody touches Lawrence while he's down or you get the tackle there, the clock is still running. They got to spike the ball there. There's probably 12 seconds left. Just like to kind of have that mental lapse at that stage in the game, it was just backbreaking.
Well, yeah, but there's a, we just have said there's probably 20 plays that are kind of backbreaking. I mean, doing it over, I've got confidence they'll make that play again. But it was just, it was such an atypical play at that moment that, I don't know. It was, I even had the feeling of like, oh, this is good. Because I had the same thinking, the clock's going to move. They got to line up. They got to spike it. And then they got to throw it to the end zone. But give Lawrence credit. He makes a heck of a play. He turned into Michael Vick last night. That's probably the most surprising thing of that game. He was like 2.1 a rush, and he's running around like he's Lamar Jackson in 2018.
Mitch, I got to ask your I got to get your thoughts on Harrison Butker. I feel like every week I just have to pencil in time to talk about Harrison Butker. It wasn't a missed field goal this week, but to kick the ball out of bounds on that play, then put the ball on the 40-yard line, something just feels off. I'm obviously willing to give it more time. I completely get that, and he's been very valuable for this team in the postseason, but just I guess it is just disappointing that it feels like after every one of these games, we've kind of had to have the question of, hey, is everything okay with their kicker?
again, one thing leads to the next. Now, you realize what happened the kickoff before, right?
Yeah.
He has to make the tackle. It's a 41-yard kickoff return. The coverage units were not good last night, all of it. So what happens then? Do you play golf?
A little bit.
Yeah, I haven't played in a long time. Love to play. My wife's really good at it. But anyway, so let's say you got a par three, or you're maybe out 80 yards, and the pin's tucked into the right. And you got a bunker in front, you got water to the right side. Because you're going, if I put this thing in there tight, I'm going to get birdie here. And you are trying to place it so neatly instead of going to the fat of the green and then try to, you know, two putt or maybe make a long putt. You're trying to hit the pin in a difficult circumstance. I think the return on the previous play set up a strategy to try to pinpoint it where it would be difficult for them to get a return to the 41-yard line. Now, in the back of my mind, I even said it to Danan on the air. This is an instance, even though there's 1:45 left, that you kick it for a touchback, and yeah, they get it at the 35, but their return game had been so explosive or potentially explosive that for them to get a kick return with a full head of steam was seemingly the most dangerous thing that could happen at that point. So you're trying to pinpoint and fine-tune it, and he didn't get it. The ball went off the side of the green and into the water, two-stroke penalty. Now, does that take him off the hook? He'll own it. He'll wear it. He'll get it. But I'm also telling you, just to look at it and say, man, he clunked that thing. I don't know what he was thinking of. You've got to look at it in the context of the other kick returns in that game and the one that especially happened right before that kick return, because they're trying to do all they can to minimize Jacksonville's field position, and in turn it went just the opposite way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Right now we're talking to Mitch Holthus.
Look at the other kick return. So I'm thinking, what are they going to do? I don't want to kick it to them because I'm going, they might run this back for the touchdown or at least a midfield. So then he's trying to place it, but he's trying to place it in a tough spot. And the returner smart enough to wait. Here come the Chiefs running down the field. It goes out of bounds. But it wasn't a clunky kick where he just sculled it and they get the ball at the 40. You know, what a knucklehead move. He's trying to actually prevent the return. Again, I love the dude, but he kicked it out of bounds. But still, there's a reason why they tried to place that kick where they did.
Right now, we're talking to Mitch Holthus, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. I'll get you out of here with these last two. I know it's early on in the season. They're 2-3. This is another massive swing game. I mean, this is almost the exact same position. It feels like they were just in their last home game against the Ravens. There is a major difference in being 3-3 and 2-4, especially in the AFC right now that is super, super competitive. And also this home stretch. I mean, this is a big home stretch. I'm trying to think of the last time that they had one like this. You've got that swing game against the Detroit Lions, maybe the best team in the National Football League. You get Rashee Rice back for a divisional game where anything can happen. I'm not super high on the Raiders, but it's a divisional game. Crazier things have happened in that rivalry before. And then you play a Commanders team that was in the NFC Championship game. This team doesn't go back on the road again until they play Buffalo. This feels like a really important stretch to just play with some momentum and start playing good football heading into the second half of the season.
But I think you're playing the best team in the NFL right now. There's no weakness on this Lions team. Goff is at 75% completion percentage, leads the league with 12 touchdown passes. Amon-Ra St. Brown, you could argue, is one of the top, if not the top, receiver right now in the league. Sam Laporta went nuts yesterday. They have two all-pros, not pro bowlers, all-pros on their offensive line in Ragnow and Penei Sewell. You've got a defense that Aiden Hutchinson is crushing it. He's getting a sack every week. You got Kirby Joseph, who's only the second safety in the last, 40 years to have 20 interceptions in his first 4 years, and Ed Reed's the other one. I mean, the kick returner, Khalif Raymond's got a punt return for a touchdown. The punter set an all-time record last year in net punting. He's the all-pro first-team punter, and the kicker was a brick salesman who's making every kick. I mean, you just have a Detroit team now that is coming in with everything working. And the fact that Detroit has averaged, they're at 35 points a game, I think at 34.8. Last year they were 34 and change. If they stay on this pace, they'll become the first team since the 1941-42 Bears to average that many points in back-to-back years. So that's what's coming in here for Sunday Night Football. I'm with you. But the Chiefs have just got it. This sounds so cliche, but when you live in the fortress of a team, you've got to figure out a way to win this game. Get to 3-3. One-third of the season is over at 3-3. And guess who's coming in stage left? Rashee Rice. To join, Xavier Worthy, Tyquan Thornton, and the rest of the crew. And 3-3 feels like 4-2 or 5-1, just because you're going to take all of your dudes into that the next two games of that homestand. So that's where this game is at. Yes, it feels like the Ravens game, a playoff game in October, but you're also playing a much more comprehensive team in the Detroit City Lions this week.
Mitch, last thing here, and we'll get you out of here. You mentioned how busy your schedule is, how busy the team's schedule is for these next couple of days. You just got less time to do all the things that you usually have in a normal week. You still got your Chiefs Kingdom obligation today. Who do you have on the show?
Well, we're going to be at Lee's Summit, the East location. That's Rice Road. And we're going to hear from Coach Pat, actually. I'm going to jump into the Tyquan Thornton thing a little bit more. And then we're going to have Gary Stills on. And Gary, who was a really good special teams player, you know, his son, an outstanding football player. But we're going to dive into, and maybe even more skewed to special teams than defense. Gary was a linebacker, because the special teams unit, those four penalties in the second half were rough. You get two holding penalties. You get the illegal block by Remigio, Cochran with the two holds and the kick out of bounds. Those are all incredibly costly penalties, especially at the worst time of the game. But the special teams unit the week before was great, and Ariza had his best game. So there's still some pluses to take into this game. But how do you fix it? How do you work it? How do you deal on a short week? Because these guys are coming in with one less day to recover and prepare for, again, what I think is the NFL's best team right now. And that's tough duty when you come off the road in a loss like that on a Monday night game.
That is Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show today. His appearances are brought to you by GEHA, Government Employees Health Association Incorporated, and also by Silverstein Eye Center. Achieve your best vision and experience outstanding patient care at Silverstein Eye Center. Mitch, happy to have you on the show today.
All right, man. Thanks.
Absolutely. That is Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show today. Always appreciate getting his thoughts and opinions on the show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.